بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي كفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد الفرقان الحميد: قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. وقد روي في الخبر عن الصادق الأبر عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال: إن أعدى عدوك نفسك التي بين جنبيك. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, brothers in Islam. Inshallah, this program that we are initiating today will be a monthly program. And Allah willing, inshallah, it will continue for the benefit of the Musallis and for my benefit as well. We are all in need of implementing the commands of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the way to do this is to remind one another of the objective of our lives and of the responsibilities placed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today's program, although on the posters it's been advertised as having a talk now after Asr, and thereafter, after a short while, we will have some masail, because the season of Hajj is here, so we will discuss some masail on Hajj that will be conducted inshallah by Mufti Masood Nanabai. And after Maghrib Salah, we have advertised the Dhikr Majlis. But for today, there is some change in that. After Maghrib program, there will be a Dhikr Majlis, but prior to that, we will have a talk which will be regarded as the main talk of tonight. After Isha, we will just read out one hadith for about 10 minutes, and thereafter, the 40 Salatu Salam, Durood, and thereafter, Dua will take place. As far as this program is concerned, for after Asr, the post also mentioned that this is an Islahi program. We all need to reform ourselves. We all need to look towards self-reformation, that how we can come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by cleansing our internal selves. The ayat which I recited before you from Surah Shams, in there Allah ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That indeed successful is that person who has cleansed his carnal self, his nafs, and unsuccessful is that person who has plunged his carnal self, his nafs, his internal self, in a pit of sin, in a pit of evil, in a pit of vice. So to attain true success, a person has to cleanse his internal self from evil, cleanse his heart from spiritual maladies, because the spiritual maladies come into the heart with the effort of the nafs and the shaitan. So that has to be cleansed, then that will be true success. Today every person in the world is searching for success, looking for success. But unfortunately, due to man's puny comprehension, limited understanding, man tends to conjure up a preconceived notion of success, which he deems as success, but it is not success in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, a man may feel that if I become the owner of a certain dream home, a house that contains all the comforts that man can imagine, enough bedrooms, all other type of rooms, a tennis court, a swimming pool, a sauna, a jacuzzi, all the comforts that man can think of, he feels that if I acquire the dream home, that is my idea of success. Another person, perhaps, he feels that if I can acquire a state-of-the-art motor vehicle, a speed machine, or if I can acquire a private jet to undertake journeys, then that is my idea of success. Another person may feel that if I can secure a certain high-paying job in the corporate world, in a certain high-profile company, that is my idea of success. Someone might feel that if I get married to a certain woman who is from a prestigious family, that is my idea of success. So this is a preconceived notion of success, conjured up by the limited understanding of man. Allah Ta'ala says all this is not success. True success is that which Allah Ta'ala mentions as success. And in this ayat Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that truly the successful person is he who cleanses his nafs, his carnal self, from inclination towards evil, from inclining towards sinning. That person is truly successful. The success that man deems as success is very short-lived. A person may have hoarded, accumulated millions and millions of rands, which he puts into his safe in his home. If Allah Ta'ala were to release a few hundred termites into that safe, the termites will eat into all those notes, millions of rands, and in a short time, it will be reduced to scraps of paper, something not worth anything. Allah forbid, if a robber has to come to the home and puts a gun on the head of that multimillionaire, all the money is taken away from the safe. If he has a bank account, we read recently of certain accounts where millions are transferred from one account to an offshore account by merely pointing a gun. So that success is short-lived. A person may feel that my success lies in acquiring a private jet for my own travel. What type of success is that? That if a bird has to get into one of the engines of that plane, it tends to malfunction and the plane comes crashing to the ground. Sometimes the most modern technology used in planes is not sufficient to save that aircraft from crashing to the ground. Allah Ta'ala wills, in a short time it is totally destroyed. We heard in previous days, if you go through a corridor of history, ships like the Titanic was regarded as an unsinkable ship. But in its first maiden voyage, it sunk into the bottom of the ocean. You can have a small plane, Allah Ta'ala wishes, He can protect that small plane from a calamity. But the most modern state-of-art technology utilized in aircraft can be of no use if Allah Ta'ala wills for that aircraft to crash. I mentioned the other day, recently, last year in fact, I happened to go to spend some time with my ustaz, Mufti Ahmad Sahib Khanpuri, Damd Barkatum, who had arrived in Zambia for some programs. We went from here to spend some time with him. So we had to undertake a journey from Lusaka to Livingston, and that was a very small aircraft, a 6-seater or 8-seater aircraft. It was the first experience for all of us, perhaps, to sit in such a tiny aircraft. The aircraft was so small, to get to your seat, you couldn't stand upright. We had to bend our heads as we were making ruku to get to the seat. And what was very amusing of that aircraft, there was no barrier between the pilot and the passengers. No barrier between the cockpit and the seating area. So much so that you could see all the instrument panels, we could see what the pilot is doing. And what was really amusing, the door on the side of the pilot was similar to the door of a car. It had a little compartment. When we drive a car, we put our sweets there, our crisps there. This pilot also had a packet of crisps there. He had a bottle of cold drink or juice. And as when he reached the required altitude, he did not have to really do much. Then he was relaxing, having his cold drink, sipping from the juice, having his crisps, having his sweets. But yet, alhamdulillah, we arrived safely from Lusaka to Livingston, even though that was a shaky little plane. Recently we heard that our local taxi association has also launched a sort of a budget type of airline. So apparently already it is doing the rounds to Umtata, and they're going to launch it, do the route to Durban and Cape Town as well. So Allah willing, hopefully it is successful, and we hope that these aircraft are more airworthy than the taxis are roadworthy, inshallah. And hopefully those aircraft will not drop off and pick up passengers in mid-air like they do in the middle of the street, inshallah. Sometimes these weird things that take place in our country, in South Africa, to get it off our chest, we have to laugh it off also. We have so many potholes on the road. One friend once told me that he's waiting for the rainy season. He has such a huge, deep pothole in front of his house. He says, I won't have to go to Bloemhof or Botswana for fishing. I'll be fishing on my doorstep in that pothole. Someone mentioned that once there was a cartoon in the paper which depicted a giraffe in the bottom of the of the pothole with only his head sticking out. You can well imagine how deep that pothole was. I once went somewhere and someone asked me the masala that Mufti Sahib, I have to travel from a certain town to another town. Do I become a musafir? Do I get the concession of making two rakats? So I asked him, what is this distance? He said it is about 75 kilometers. So I told him, no. To become a musafir, you have to travel a minimum of 77 kilometers before you get the concession of making two rakats. So he then argued with me. He said, no, Mufti Sahib, I think I become a musafir. So I asked him, in what way? So he said, there are so many potholes on the road. When I go into a pothole and come out, I have to add on those kilometers. When you add that on to the 75, the extra 3 kilometers, it will amount to the 77 or 78 kilometers. But this is a unique thing in our country. The other day I saw something very unique. We hear of people that perhaps give a traffic cop a dozen of samosas to avoid a traffic fine. The other day I saw a gentleman that was pulled off the road and on his back he had two huge boxes of eggs. So he took a tray of eggs and he was running to the traffic cop to give it to him. So this is something unique. On the street corner the other day we saw a man with a placard, no food, no job, no wife. So you can give him a job, you can give him food, where you can get a wife for him. But this is what happens. So nevertheless, these type of short-lived successes that we deem as success is not truly success in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True success, Allah ta'ala says, is a person who cleanses his internal self, his carnal self, from all inclination towards evil. And how to do that? Because it's not an easy task. The nafs is a very great enemy of man. In fact, it can be considered to be a greater enemy than shaitan as well. We read in the month of Ramadan, we hear in the month of Ramadan, the shayateen are locked up. The hadith says, Suffilati shayateen. Shayateen are put under lock and key. But in spite of that, we see in Ramadan too, people committing sin, even though it is to a lesser degree. The reason for this is that Allah has locked up the shayateen, but the nafs still has free rein. It still can lead a person astray. That shows the gravity of the enmity of the nafs, that for 1 month of the year, when the shayateen are locked away, the carnal self that is inclined towards evil still tends to draw a person towards sinning, towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that inna a'da aduvika nafsuka allati bayna jambayk, that your greatest enemy is your nafs, your carnal self that resides within your own body, something that is a companion at all times within our bodies, that truly is a great enemy of man. Shaitan also is an avowed enemy. The Quran says, "Inna shaitan al-insan adu mubin." That shaitan is an open enemy of mankind. But in order to save ourselves from the shaitan, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us certain du'as of ta'awudh. We read, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaitan ar-rajim." We read, "Amantu billahi wa rusuli." In that way, we are saved from many evil thoughts that the shaitan puts within our hearts. But the internal self, the carnal self, is with the person 24/7. It is not easy to evade the ways of the crooked ways of the nafs and to combat it. It is not an easy task. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, although the sanad, the narration of that hadith, some narrators are a bit questionable, but the context and the thrust of the hadith is true. Where when the Sahaba were returning from the battlefield, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them that Raja'na min al jihad al asghari ila al jihad al akbar, that we are returning from the lesser jihad to the greater jihad. The Sahaba was surprised that we have just fought the enemy on the battlefield. What could be a greater jihad than fighting the enemy in jihad? So they asked Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wama jihad al akbar ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is this greater jihad? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, jihadun nafs. That the jihad that you wage against your nafs, that is the greater jihad. Because a jihad on a battlefield is fought for a few days, for a few hours it is over. But the jihad against the nafs is a continuous jihad. Every day, every moment, every second, the nafs, the internal carnal self, is trying to lead man astray. In fact, by nature, the nafs itself is such that it takes a person away from the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. The Quran says, "Inna nafsa la'ammaratun bisu," that a nafs tends to command a person towards the disobedience of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, towards committing evil. But there is something for us, a consolation given by Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, something to be pleased about, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has explained to us that if a person fights an internal battle against his nafs, against the carnal self, then he can nurture that nafs until from its lowest ebb of nafs-e ammara, it reaches the stage of nafs-e lawwama. From the commanding soul that commands towards evil, it becomes a rebuking soul, the reproaching soul. In other words, it reaches a stage where when a person wishes to do something wrong, that same carnal self actually rebukes him, that listen, open your eyes, be careful what you are doing, look at the path you are treading upon, this will incur the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the man pulls back. And then the more that he nurtures that nafs, eventually reaches the stage of nafs-e mutma'inna, which is a comfortable soul, the restful soul, that will be sent into Jannat with the man's body, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, a person nurtures it until it reaches a stage where it does not even think of taking the person towards evil. So this is something for us to take consolation from, that there is a way to escape from the enmity of the nafs, and that is to nurture it. How does one nurture the nafs? The way to nurture the nafs, the carnal self, is that you do exactly the opposite of what the nafs tells you to do. If the nafs tells you to hoard your wealth, you do not hoard your wealth, you spend it in the path of Allah. If the nafs tells you to develop enmity, animosity for a certain person, you do exactly the opposite. You go and befriend that person, give him some gifts, go close to him. In that way, when a person goes against the nafs, then he nurtures the nafs until instead of being an adversary, being a foe, an enemy, that nafs becomes an ally to the person. It becomes a friend of the person. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once said to the Sahaba, that what do you people say about such a companion whose nature is such that the more you honor that friend, that companion, the more you feed that companion, the more you pamper it, the more it leads you to destruction. On the other hand, the more you dishonor that companion, the more you starve that companion, the more you go against the whims of that companion, it leads you to salvation and to goodness. So the Sahaba said, this must be the worst friend that the person has in the world. Who is this friend? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that is a nafs. So the nature of nafs is such that the more you pamper it, the more you honor it, the more you go according to its whims and desires, the more it leads you astray. On the other hand, the more you do exactly the opposite of what the nafs tells you to do, then inshallah, that same nafs will become your ally, your friend. It will lead you on the path of salvation, on the path of success. So that is the nature of the nafs, that we should nurture it until it comes from the lowest ebb of nafs-e ammara and reaches the nafs-e lawwama and then finally the nafs-e mutma'inna. So it is this nafs working hand in hand with the shaitan that leads a person to destruction, and it creates spiritual maladies of the heart. So this what is known as tazkiyatun nafs, cleansing of the soul. This actually implies that a person should nurture the soul, the nafs, the internal self, the carnal self, until such a stage that those qualities that are regarded as akhlaqi razila, the detested qualities, qualities detested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the spiritual maladies, until they are removed from the heart and they are replaced by akhlaqi fadila, those qualities and traits that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, when a person, for example, has a great deal of wealth, he feels that I am someone, I am the don of the community, I am the top gun here, no one can tell me what to do. When he has that attitude of pride, egoism, of arrogance, then that means he has a spiritual malady that needs to be replaced now with a trait of humbleness, humility, regarding others better than oneself, regarding oneself inferior to others, then we can say that he has got a quality that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the major reasons that these spiritual maladies come in the heart is because man's nature is such that he develops love for the material world. And this is something that does not make sense. Man knows that this abode of the world is a temporary abode. Yet he wishes to attach himself to the world and the worldly items, to the material things, so much so that he cannot leave hold of the world to material things. He attaches himself. And this leads to many other ailments of the heart, of the spirit, spiritual maladies. Because in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيَةٍ. That love for the world is a root of all evil. When a person has love for the world, he accumulates a lot of wealth. He feels I am someone. If someone outdoes him in business, someone does better than him, he begins to develop jealousy for that person. And then he looks for ways to harm that person. Whereas the treatment for jealousy is that if you are jealous about someone else's good fortune, instead of looking for ways to harm him, you make dua for that person. That Allah Ta'ala increase his bounties. You go forward, give him some gift, befriend him. In that way that will eradicate the jealousy. If a person has stinginess in his heart, he's a miser, the way to treat that is to go out with his money, spend in the path of Allah, give to the poor and destitute, spend on people that are in need of wealth, people in debt, the widows, the orphans. In that way a person will remove this love for material wealth from his heart. Because once a person develops love for material wealth, that leads him to destruction, not only in the akhirat, but even in the dunya. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has mentioned a very interesting incident to illustrate how destructive greed for the world is, how destructive love for the world is. Hazrat Isa ala Nabina wa salatu salam, on one occasion, he went on a journey, and a man decided to accompany him. He took permission, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam agreed to take this man along. So they traveled for a short distance. When they became hungry, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam had taken some food along. He took out the container where the food was in. He took out 3 rotis from that container and he put it on the dasturkhan. They sat down to eat. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam put 1 roti forward to that person and 1 roti he kept by himself. He said, "You eat this roti, I will eat this roti, and the 3rd roti will put away for a later stage when you become hungry." So the man also agreed. For a little while, Isa alayhi salam's attention was distracted. He had to go away to attend to someone. When he returned to the dasturkhan, he found that the 3rd roti had disappeared. It was missing. One obviously he had eaten, one as Isa alayhi salam, and the 3rd one had disappeared. So he asked his man that what happened to the 3rd roti? So he spoke a lie. He says, "I know nothing about the roti. I do not know where it went. I cannot answer your question." Obviously, revelation used to come upon the prophets, upon the Anbiya. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was immediately informed that this person has stolen that roti. But Hazrat Isa alayhi salam did not divulge this to him. He thought, "Let me play along with him. Let him join me on the journey. I wish that this person himself must show some remorse and admit that he has taken the roti, then I can perhaps forgive him." So they continued on the journey, but still he would not admit that he had eaten the 3rd roti. They reached a certain place where they found some sheep or goats for sale, and Isa alayhi salam purchased 1 sheep from that person. He slaughtered the sheep, skinned it, and then prepared the meat, cooked the meat for them to partake of the meal. And before they could partake of the meal, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam then addressed that meat that he had cleaned of the sheep by saying, "Qum bi-idhnillah." He said, "Stand up, come to life with the permission of Allah." And a miracle took place. That sheep or that goat came to life, all the parts were put together and it came to life. So this was a miracle of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. In Darul Deoban, on one occasion, in the old days, when the great Akabir were there, students used to come study from Pakistan too, in Darul Deoband, many Indian students as well. There was a natural rivalry between the Indian and the Pakistani students, a healthy type of rivalry. But nevertheless, There were certain, most of the ustaz were obviously of Indian origin, not of Pakistan origin. So on one occasion, one student who was a bit mischievous, the Indian ustaz beat him up a bit in order to discipline him. So because he was beaten up, being a Pakistani boy, he was beaten up by an Indian ustad, he could not tolerate that. So he got his friends together and he told them, put me onto a stretcher, I will pretend as if I am dead. And take me to the Naudara. Naudara is the place in Darul Dioban where there are 9 arches, where normally the Janaza Salah is performed. So this person pretended to be dead. That the Indian ustad had beaten me up so much that now I'm losing my life. So they carried him on the stretcher, put him before the Naudara. Hazrat Maulana Yaqub Sahib Nanauti Rahmatullah happened to pass by there. And he had a stick, a walking stick in his hand. When he saw this, he asked the students, what has happened? They said, a certain ustad has beaten up this boy so much that he has left the world. Something must be done about this. Some action must be taken. But Maulana was also very clever. He caught up that these people had a trick up their sleeve. He went up to the student lying on the stretcher, supposedly dead, and he beat him with a stick. When he beat him with a stick, the student, the boy got up and began to run for his life. So Maulana then said to the people, this stick has 2 qualities. It has a quality of the asa of Musa alayhi salatu salam. It can beat very hard. Musa alayhi salam used to strike a rock and water used to gush forth from there. And then he said, it also has the quality of the miracle shown by Isa alayhi salam of Ihya'ul Mauta, to bring the dead back to life. So nevertheless, continuing with the incident, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam then continued with this person. When he said to this sheep, the meat, come to life, it came back to life. So he thought, at least this person will now be taken aback, and he will admit that if this Nabi of Allah can perform such miracles with the will of Allah, he will also know who has taken the third roti by being informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let me admit. But he was still not prepared to admit. So they continued on the journey. They came to a certain place where there was a river which needed to be crossed. There was no boat nearby. So Isa alayhi salam held on to this person's hand and the miracle took place. Both of them walked across the surface of the water without even a stitch of the clothing becoming wet. And they came on the other bank of the river. As Isa alayhi salam tells him that, now tell me who had that roti up. So he's still quiet. He says, I know nothing about it. So they continued. When they reached a clearing somewhere in the jungle, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam sat down and he got 3 mounds of sand together. He put them together and then he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala made those 3 mounds of sand to convert into pure gold bricks. They became gold bricks. So now he asked this person, they tell me who took the roti. He's still not prepared to speak. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said to him, let's see, there are 3 bricks here. We are 2 people. 1 brick for me, 1 gold brick for you, and the 3rd brick for the person who ate that 3rd roti. So now he admits, this is man's nature. People say we go to the gambling dens, we go to the casinos just to pass time, just for fun. But when that lotto machine or the slot machine hits the jackpot, then they no more say we are going to pass time. Now we are not prepared to part with that money. So yet to this man had hit the jackpot. That he said, Isa alayhi salam says that the person who had the 3rd roti will get the 3rd brick. So now he admits that yes, I had that roti up. So Isa alayhi salam was disgusted with this person that he has greed for the world. So he left him and said to him that I have no need of these 3 bricks. I leave all these 3 bricks in your possession. You are the owner. As Isa alayhi salam continued, after a short while, 2 robbers happened to pass by there. And they saw this man sitting with the 3 bricks of pure gold. So they went up to him and they wanted to rob him. They pointed some weapon at him. So he said to them, listen, there's no need to become so angry. There are 3 bricks here. You 2, myself, we are 3 people, enough to go around. 1 brick for myself, 1 for you, and 1 for the 2nd robber. So they agreed for the time being. After a short while, they were hungry. And obviously you can have thousands of gold bricks, but it is not your food, cannot nourish your body. So they decided to send 1 person to the nearby village to purchase some food. When he went towards the village, now shaitan and the nafs came into play. And the shaitan and nafs explaining that person going to purchase the food, that let me buy the food and put some poison in it. I will come and feed it to these two people. When the two of them die, I will become the owner of all three bricks. Not realizing that these two gentlemen had plotted against him. That when he returns, what we will do is we will kill him and then we will become the owner of all three bricks, two of us. So when he returned with the food, they treacherously attacked him, killed him, and they thought to themselves that now we have the three bricks to ourselves. One robber was dead, and these two gentlemen sitting there, and they saw the delicious food that he had brought from the village, and they ate up all that food, obviously it was poisoned, so these two gentlemen also died. After a little while, Isa alayhi salam passed by there, when he saw these three corpses lying there, with the three bricks of gold, no one touching them, then he remarked that this is what greed of the world does to people. That when there's greed of the world, not only do they face the punishment in the akhirat, even in this world, they take themselves towards destruction. So this love for material things is that factor that creates most of the spiritual maladies of the heart. That is something that needs to be avoided. We should realize the temporary nature of this world is not something to fall behind. The ulama say that the world is like a woman of evil morals. A woman of evil morals is such that if you ignore her, you run away from her, she runs behind you. If you show your affinity towards her, then she becomes, so to say, self-dependent and she doesn't want to pay attention to you. Like in Afrikaans, they say, man khapla. She doesn't want to pay attention. So similarly, the world, the more you avoid the world, the more it runs behind you, it throws itself at your feet, it wants to serve you and becomes a servant of yours. But the more you run after the world, the more it leads you to destruction. And the reason why the love for the world is created is because of the ploy of the nafs and of the shaitan. More importantly, the nafs, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has declared as the greatest enemy of man, because it resides within the body of man. So it is necessary to cleanse our souls from the spiritual maladies. And the way to do that is to go into the company of the pious, sit in the company of the pious, listen to talks of Allah and His Rasul. And another very effective way, go out in the path of Allah, spend some time in Jamaat, 3 days, 10 days, 40 days. Inshallah, you go out in Jamaat, you'll be spending your 24 hours with a group of pious people. Spending time with them, inshallah, will also lead towards a spiritual reformation of the nafs. So these are tried and tested methods where a person can cleanse his soul and come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we also sit in the company of the pious, also spend some time in the path of Allah, inshallah. In this way, when you go out of our environment, where we are attached to the worldly engrossments, where we have love for our worldly assets, we leave that behind, go out in the path of Allah, sacrifice a bit, go sit in the company of the pious, spend some time in their company, sit in their talks and learn from them. Inshallah, these will become our spiritual doctors. Like we have doctors to treat our physical ailments, these pious people, whether we join them in the path of Allah, whether we go sit in the company, these will be our spiritual doctors and they will advise us how to treat the diseases of the carnal self, how to treat the spiritual maladies of the heart and to replace it with such qualities and traits that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah inshallah give us all tawfiq of realizing the importance of cleansing our spiritual selves, and Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq of utilizing means whereby we can remove from our internal self the spiritual maladies and replace it with those good qualities that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way to do that obviously is to follow every command of Allah, which these people will guide us towards, and also to implement the sunnahs of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the effective way. Allah inshallah give us all tawfiq.